Over the past month of sermons, really, we've been covering the topic of offense and being offended. And looking at the Word of God like that can sometimes open some difficult things in our heart, in our mind, our past, our spirit. But through this look at the Word, I feel like the Lord has really done a deep work in our church and in myself. And I've had many people come and talk to me about something that the Lord spoke to them, and through that. And you know, I read the other day a definition of a good sermon. It said, good sermons are sermons that do good. Sermons that do good. And so I don't mean that to say, well, I did a good job, but just the fact that the Lord is working through His Word, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. I never want to take for granted that the Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we have His Word. But I recognize that that topic is also not so easy sometimes, so you know, I'm thankful for everyone that the Lord spoke to. And if you're a guest with us this morning, you know, the past couple weeks we've been speaking about offense, and it's kind of one of those topics where you just dig and dig and dig, and you uncover some things and work through some things and pray about some things. But this past Monday night at prayer, something resonated in me so deeply. Sister Kelsey came and asked me, as the worship leader customarily does, what my preference would be for the end of prayer. They sing a song, and I said, well, it's whatever you feel. I don't have a preference. And every time I'm tempted to say some really obscure song, you know what I really would love for us to sing, and then just drop a bomb on it. But I won't do that, I don't think. But the song they sang really just ministered to me and everyone here, and I immediately thought of a scripture in my mind, just that phrase, rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert. And I pulled out my phone, I searched to find that reference, and pulled up Isaiah 43, Old Testament book, and I shared that scripture, and there was just such a confirmation of the Spirit of God in this place in our church. And I'm so thankful that we serve a God that makes rivers in the desert, that provides in places that seem like they hold no provision for us. So today, I just want to encourage you. I just want to bring a word of encouragement to you today from the Word of God. I want to encourage your spirit. I want to lift your spirit with some things. And just fair warning, I'm excited about what I have to bring today. I'm pumped about the Word of God. I'm excited to encourage your spirit and bring something I think that can help you. And I want to bring a word of encouragement to the one who is going through a situation you would never have dreamed you would have to go through. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you, the one that you prayed that God would help you, and you feel like you're having to walk through a situation that you prayed against, and you're asking why. I want to encourage someone today who finds themselves in maybe a place you would categorize as unexpected. I did not expect to be here, but I believe God can speak to us in those places. If you want to stand with me, I'm going to read the Word of God from the book of Isaiah. We're going to revisit a little bit of Monday night, so just act like you haven't heard it before. If you're here Monday night, say, man, that's so good. Isaiah 43, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Today I'm preaching, my title is God Has Another Option. God has another option. You can be seated today. This book of Isaiah, very interesting. The prophet, Old Testament prophet of Isaiah, prophet to prophesy, to speak of things that have not come yet, as he's given from the Lord. And he prophesied about things that were to come. And Isaiah, if you're interested in the history, he lived from around 740 BC to 681 BC. And it's interesting because he spoke of, there's different times throughout Isaiah where he speaks of things that have happened. He prophesies into what would be kind of considered the near future of biblical events, but then he also speaks of things which are to come. He prophesies of things that would happen through Jesus and be fulfilled. So it's incredible, and we're going to kind of unpack some of it today. And so, but about 80 years after the death of the prophet Isaiah is the time of the Israelites' Babylonian captivity. There's many that were taken captive, and we see the story of four young men. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah from the tribe of Judah, or as we more commonly know them by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel's name was Belshazzar, but we retain his name as Daniel. We know him. But these were men that lived in the events that Isaiah said would come. It's pretty incredible if you just think about the fact that he wrote these words, penned these words, and about 100 years later, they're living through the exact events that he spoke about and wrote about, and now he is gone. But so these four young men have been removed from their family. They've been removed from their life, removed from everything they know. They've been taken to a foreign place, an unexpected place, a place that would be seemingly far away from God's plan for their life. And yet, just by the mention of their names, even if you have not been around church in a long time, you remember something, or you recognize some things about their names, especially Daniel. Great name if you want to name your child. Just throwing that out there. I think Daniel's a strong contender. But we see in this story that these four men, that they were separated. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel was separated. We can read this in the book of Daniel, which again is after the book of Isaiah, both chronological order, but also in your Bible. And in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 49, Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. So Daniel chapter 3 contains the story of the three young men in the fiery furnace. A familiar story, I know, but let's traverse its contents once more, and I believe that we can glean some fresh encouragement from it today. There is a statue in this story that the king commands everyone to bow to. You must worship. He dictates how they're supposed to worship. And of course, these three young men, knowing of the one true and living God, they refuse that decree. And so as everyone else bows, they don't bow. And they say, you know what? We're not going to go against what we believe. We don't care what you say. We don't care what you do. We're going to stand for what we believe in. And so the king, they get brought before the king, and he's very frustrated. And he says, what's your problem? I have put you in positions of authority, and now you can't even work with me on this. And paraphrasing, of course. And so, you know, he says, I'm going to give you one more chance to bow, but you've got to bow this time. And Daniel 3 verse 16 contains their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. Basically saying, listen, our answer is not going to change. We don't even have to talk about it. It's not even a conversation. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So this makes him very angry, of course. But I want to look at their response when he asks. I want to just look at these verses, verse 17 and 18, because what it does is it gives us some insight into the framework of their faith. Because when he says, you're going to be thrown in the furnace unless you bow, they answer, but their answers kind of give us an idea of what in their mind the options were. What are the options that moving forward? So number one, he said, if this be so, our God can deliver us. So he can prevent us from going into the furnace, right? And we pray those kind of prayers, and we want that kind of option. You know what? The God that I serve, he can get me out of this situation where I don't have to go through it. He said, our God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. He can deliver us from your hand. We will be delivered. We pray that. What we're saying, what I'm saying, we don't have to go through this fire. God can deliver us out of your hand. They knew that looking back about what God had done for the people before, that God had parted the Red Sea where the Israelites walked through on dry ground. They knew that God could deliver them. But verse 18, they say, but if not, we will still not serve your gods or worship the golden image. They also knew that sometimes God withheld his hand and people had to go through suffering or even perish. And their faith is commendable. They were willing to die for what they believed in. It's pretty striking if you think about it. They said, you know what? Even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to change what we believe. So they, in their answer, kind of built a framework for what they perceive to be the options. Either God will deliver us, or we're going to die, but we're not going to turn back. Either way, we're good. And we see it's incredible Because what we know about this story is that God says, I see your option one, and I see your option two, but I've got another option that you don't know about yet. And this option was prophesied. The result of this story was prophesied by Isaiah in the chapter that we read at the very beginning, Isaiah 43 and 2. Look at this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Talking, and you can look at this, the symbolism of Moses in the Red Sea. This is something that had happened. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. You could say this, Joshua and the Jordan River, these events. But now it says, when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Now he's speaking into something that hadn't happened yet 100 years later. And here these men arrive on the scene, and they have two options. Either God's going to get us out, or we're just going to die in the fire. But what we see is that the Bible says that they were thrown into the furnace. It says they fell in the furnace bound. They fell into the situation bound, and they fell. They didn't have an option to walk into it. They didn't have control. They were bound and they fell. But look what it says in verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Now, this is what I want to encourage you with today, this familiar story. But if you think about their framework of faith and what they thought the two options were, they thought the options were God's going to get us out and we don't have to go through it, or we'll go through it, suffer and die, and we'll still not do anything but serve God. But in this moment, God provides another option. He says, you know what? I am not going to just allow you to go through this fire, but I'm going to change this fire from a destructive fire to a purifying fire. They go in the fire, but look at the only thing that was burned off of them was the chains that man had put on them. So what I need you to understand and be encouraged with today is there is another option. You may not see or understand. You may be looking at a circumstance and saying, God, I don't know how you're going to work this out. I don't know what you're going to do. You may think that, okay, God, I want you to deliver me from it, or I'll just suffer through it. But there's another option. Why? Because God has another option. He can let you go through the fire, but he can transform it. Guess what? The closest those men ever got to God was in the middle of the fire. The Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar looked and he said, I see four men and they are free and they are walking around. So you know what? You're going through a situation and you're frustrated and you may just feel like lying down and just wait until it's over. But let me encourage somebody today, get up in the middle of your situation, because you can be loosed in the middle of it. Not when it's over, not when it's in the past, not when it's said and done. I'm talking about right now in the middle of the situation. You can get up in the midst of it. You can be free from what's binding you and you can walk around. You need to just say, God, if it's your will, I'm going to go through it, but you have another option. God has another option for you today. Oh, can we just thank God? Be encouraged today. You may not see it, but God has another option. I don't care what your situation looks like. I don't care what options you have laid out. I don't care what you think you've been shackled by. I don't care how hot the fire seems. I don't care who's been preparing the fire of your demise today. My God has another option. The Bible says they were unbound walking in the midst. They fell in bound and fallen. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked, they were upright walking in the midst with a fourth man in the fire. You need to understand that God has another option for you today. Suffering is not the only option. Deliverance out of the whole thing. If you're going through, you say, God, surely this wasn't your plan, but if it is, I guess I'll suffer my way through. No, I'm here today to tell you that the consequences that we see, the natural consequences, there's no way to go in a fire and not be burned or affected by it. That's just the way the world works. But when God steps in, he says, you know what? I can change everything and there can be another option. The Bible says that when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. I'm also telling you that you don't have to smell like, look like, or be like what you've been through. I'm trying trying to tell somebody today, yes, be encouraged today. Maybe you need to stand to your feet and say, oh God, there's some things I'm going through and I don't see my options. My options seem few. My options seem like only this or that. But today, God has another option for you. God has some things that you can't see yet. You know what it may be? It may be rivers in the desert. It may be a way in the wilderness. But you got to have faith enough today to say, Lord, if you've got another option, I declare it. I claim it over my life. I claim it over my family. God has another option. Oh, can we just praise him today? Oh, can we just thank God today? You may not like what you see, but God's got another option. You may only see a couple of results, but God's got another option today. Thank you, Jesus. God has another option. You may feel like you've fallen in bound, but with God, you're going to be walking in the midst loose. You may have fallen into the situation bound, but with God, you can be walking in the midst of it loosed. I'm so thankful for that today. Now that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's pick up on their friend Daniel, another very familiar story. Daniel serving under King Darius. In Daniel chapter 5, this is the fall of King Belshazzar, the Chaldean, and this is the handwriting on the wall, and Darius receives the kingdom, and Daniel is serving under Darius, and he prays to God, and he's faithful to God, and there's basically some men that he's working with, and they devise a plan because they can't find any fault in him. So similar to what these other stories we've seen, they devise a plan by which Daniel would fall into their trap. And we see that the king signs this decree and no one can pray to anyone except the king. But of course, Daniel's going to be consistent and keep doing what he's been called to do. And what's interesting about both of these stories, look at where they are attacked. They're attacked not at necessarily finances, not necessarily some fringe thing. No, they are attacked at the very core of who they are, the very core of their disciplines. Sometimes the enemy is going to take you to task on asking the question, who are you going to be when the pressure is on? When the fire gets hot, are you going to capitulate? Are you going to say, you know what, fine, I'll compromise? Are you going to stand true for who you're going to be? And it's in those moments that God can provide another option. But we have to be faithful, even in the moments, and say, you know what, God, it could be the easy way out, but I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to walk back on anything that you've promised me or anything I've promised you to be. We've got to be the kind of people that says, you know what, even if I do have to suffer, I'm going to walk with you. So now Daniel, his fate is set because he kept praying. He's captured and they have this decree. And the men bring Daniel and they say, listen, you've made this law, king. And so Daniel has to be thrown in the lion's den for praying to anyone but you. And you signed it. And look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. So he's like, okay, this is a situation where the king loves Daniel. Okay, there are times when in our mind we're like, look, there are people that are on my side. There are people in high places that surely at the right time they can help me. Daniel, I'm sure, was thinking, you know what? The king of all people should be able to fix this. And the Bible said the king was so distressed and he labored till the sun went down. The verse 15, then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, they got together and they said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians, basically an unbreakable law. They invoked this idea. The king's seal was on it. No injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. The king ran out of options. So the king, he saw no fault in Daniel, and he worked all night laboring, the Bible says, to figure out how can I rescue him. But now he's out of options. The morning has come. All options have been exhausted, and now Daniel's fate is set. The king had run out of options. You see this story, we don't have time today, but really it's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ in several ways. John 19:4, Pilate, in a similar dilemma, you could say, Pilate went out again and said to them, see, I am bringing him out, being Jesus, to you, that you may know I find no guilt in him. But verse 16, back in our story, then the king commanded and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. What does that sound like? And the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. So in this situation, Daniel had friends in high places. This should have been fixed. You ever get that situation where you think, you know what? Surely this person will help me. Surely this will happen. Surely something will turn around. Surely someone can do something to help me fix what's going on. But this is an example where they exhausted all of their options. There were no other options. The stone was rolled over the mouth of the den of lions, and it was sealed, and there was no other human option other than Daniel being devoured by the situation outside of his control. And you may feel exactly that same way, even sitting here right now, that you are like Daniel, that you are in a den of lions, something you know you cannot overpower, you know you can't fight against, you know you can't do anything about. This is a decision that was made. It has been sealed. The stone has been set, and there is no way out. Then the Bible says, at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him. And also before you, O king, I have done no harm." You see, the king saw no option. He was not able to deliver Daniel from going into the lion's den. But in this moment, God saw another option. Yes, God allowed Daniel to go through the trial, to go into the lion's den, and then come back out unscathed. The stone was rolled over his assumed grave, but no one even realized or considered or saw in the future that there could be another outcome in store, another option. But guess what? God has another option. And I want to challenge you today to see God's option. Many times in our life, we desire to see healings of our body. We desire to see miracles, and God can do that, and God has done that, and God will continue to do that. We want to see miracles of provision. We want to see finances. We want to see these signs. And I know what Jesus said in Mark 16:17, "These signs shall follow them that believe." And I believe that we still will see those, and we have seen those, and those have not ceased. But I think our desire to see those type of miracles makes us blind, because we think these are the options for miracles, God. And sometimes we're blind to the miracle right in front of us. What was the miracle of Daniel? What is the miracle of the story of Daniel in the lion's den? If I could put a label on it, and it's a miracle you've probably had in your life, it's the "I'm still here" miracle. That's the thing that we need to understand today, that the miracle of Daniel was the keeping power of God, that Daniel came through and he said, "You know what? There was no way out. These lions should have devoured me, but I'm still here." Somebody today, you need to thank God for the miracle of "I'm still breathing. I'm still living. The thing that should have taken me out didn't. The thing that should have scarred me hasn't. The thing that should have ended my life hasn't done so yet." That's the kind of God we serve. Why? Because God has another option for you. Oh, can we just praise God? Can you thank God when he sustains you? Can you thank God when he keeps you? Some of you, you shouldn't be sitting here today. You shouldn't be sitting next to your spouse today. You shouldn't be breathing today. But God kept you. There was no option. But God had another option for you. And that's why you're here. That's why I'm thankful. That's why I'm excited today. Why? Because God has another option. Thank you, Jesus. God has another option. Sometimes the miracle is in the sustaining. It's the miracle of keeping. I know we get excited and emotional if God blesses us financially, and he can. I know you'll get excited if he heals your body, and that's good, and he can. But what if God's option is just to keep you and sustain you and to keep you alive and to sustain you through a situation. Can I still say, God, thank you. This may not have been the option that I saw. I may not even have known this was on the table, but there are some things that you thought you were going to have to suffer through. But God said, you're not going to have to suffer. You're going to go through it, and I'm going to purify you, and I'm going to cleanse you, and there's some things I'm going to do in you. What I'm saying is, at the right time, God can shut the mouth of the one that meant to devour you, those people that meant to talk bad about you, to ruin your reputation. I believe God can shut the mouth of their influence over you, and you can come out the other side and say, God, you kept me. Even if man couldn't deliver me, even man couldn't help me, God kept me. Even if man couldn't fix it, even if man had no answer, who had an answer? God did. Why? Because God has another option. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, can we just give him some praise for keeping us? Can we just give him some praise for sustaining us, for seeing us through when other people couldn't help us? God came through. When no one else had an option for us, God did. God has another option. Oh, I'm thankful for that today. When he allows us to go through but provides a way that wasn't even an option. Isaiah 43 is a prophetic word to the people of God. Yes, 100 years later, but now thousands of years later. And that word is, God has another option. You can't see it. You can't plan it. You couldn't script it, but he can do it. I want to read our key passage one more time. Isaiah 43, 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. It springs forth. Do you not perceive it? The wilderness has no path. The desert has no directions. You may not know how you're going to get through. The desert provides no provision for you. The desert is only a dry, barren place that holds no value. So we pray, God, get me out of here, or let me just survive while I suffer through. But no, God has another option. You don't have to suffer through. Why? Because I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Will you stand with me? He can put a river of provision in a place that it shouldn't be, in a place that it couldn't be. He can provide for you in a season that no one thinks should ever be good for you. You can go through struggle, and God can meet you in that struggle. And we only see a few options, but God has another option today. At verse 16, he says, makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. He was referencing the Red Sea, yes, but that's not all. He doesn't use this past tense language. He says the Lord makes a way in the sea, brings forth. This present tense language shows us that, yes, the great Exodus was representative of what God did, but it also speaks to what God does. The amazing thing about Isaiah, why am I so excited today? Yes, Isaiah was writing things that Daniel would live out 100 years later, but he's writing it in present tense. Why? Because this is what our God does. He's the God that, just like the Red Sea, he likes to part waters. Guess what? You may be up against a circumstance. There's no way through it. There's no way around it. You don't know what to do. God has another option for you. You may be looking at a fire of a circumstance and say, you know what? I feel like I'm falling into this situation, bound by so many things. But God ordains that you can walk through it in the midst of it, loose and unbound. I'm saying today, these are promises for you, not just pages of a book. You can live them out. God has another option for you today. You've heard it before. If he did it before, he can do it again. And let me just speak to someone today. I know I've been excited. I don't apologize. I'm excited. Why? Because this book, the words in this book are real, are true, are transformative. And I've seen it for myself. So if you are in unfamiliar territory today at First Church, that's okay. Thank you for being here. But let me just tell you, if you look at, again, these three Hebrew boys, their response although a faith-filled response, it was a framework of thinking. They, whatever their level of faith, determined their viewpoint of their options. So let me just speak to somebody today. I don't know your life story, but you know what you're probably at some point doing with your walk with God? You're trying to figure out, what are my options? What are my options? What do I do? What are my choices? Well, I've been through this, so these are my options. Well, I did this, so these are my options. I'm telling you today, God has another option. That's the point of the gospel. That's the purpose of the gospel. You know what? Let me challenge you today. You know what your option is today? If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, that is God's option today for you. I want to challenge you. And maybe you haven't been baptized there before because you felt like, man, if you knew the stuff I've been through, if you know what I've done, let me challenge you. You're creating options. If you knew this about me, you would know these are my options. No, God has another option. I see your options. I see your framework. I see your thought process. But I'm here to declare to you, what are these stories? What's the point of these stories? The point of these stories is to say this: God has provided another option for you. I'm speaking to you struggling in your life, and you think, these are my options. God has another option. I wish I could sit across the table from each one of you and just recite this over every story you want to tell yourself. Well, if I've done, God has another option. Well, you don't know about my, God has another option. Well, I've been through, God has another option. I did this and I did this. God has another option. Your options are not, these are not your few options that you have. God has an option that you don't even know about yet. And let me tell you, in Isaiah, he knew that the people of God would turn away from God. Okay, the next chapter of the story of Israel was that people would rebel against God and turn away from him. It was a dark time. And Isaiah prophesies it, but look what Isaiah says. Isaiah 43 and 24. This is God. You have not bought me sweet cane with money or satisfied me with the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins. You have wearied me with your iniquities. Okay, that could be you today. If God was speaking to you, maybe he'd say the same thing. You've not done good for me. You've not honored me. You've burdened me with your sins and your iniquities and your problems. But look what verse 25 says. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Amen. The writer is writing words that speak into the future, that speak to us today. If you've made big mistakes and you're trying to figure out why would God care about me? You're telling me that the God who's supposed to be infinite and perfect and all these great things, why would he cleanse me? Why would he fix me? Why would he help me? And again, what you're doing is you're trying to create options. Well, I'm not worth it. These are my options. But you know what that verse says? Why? I'll give you the reason why. It's what God says. For my own sake. He said, I do it for myself. God is saying, you don't understand the options. I've got my own reasons. I've got my own options. I've got my own set of circumstances that you don't know about yet. I've got my own rules. I've got my own things. So you're so busy trying to figure out what you're deserving of, what you can and can't do. And I'm telling you, I don't care about your rules. I don't care about your thoughts. I don't care about any stuff. Why? Because my thoughts, my ways are so much higher beyond what you can imagine. So let me challenge somebody today. Why would God come to earth as a baby, subject himself to life on this earth, live a sinless life, and die a death he did not deserve? Because God wanted to give you another option. Not one you deserve, not one you merit. We serve the God that will blot out your transgressions. And he says, I will not remember your sins. Let me challenge you today. Some of you I don't know personally, haven't maybe connected with personally, maybe again you're a guest or you're newer. Whatever you think your options are today, based upon your decisions, based upon what other people have done, I want to challenge those options, and I want to declare and encourage you today, God has another option for you. God, I know you're in pain. I know your faith may be shaky. I know you don't understand, or you feel like you're not deserving, or you feel like it's not an option for you. I get all of that. And that makes a lot of sense to me. I may come to the same conclusion, but that's not the way God works. God has another option for you. God has another option for you. We know this story. We know we're familiar with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the fiery furnace. We know it was a miracle, but isn't it just amazing to think that God was willing to shift the laws of nature? God was willing to shift every physical thing so that his glory could be revealed in their life. You don't think God will do it for you? You don't think God can mend that relationship? You don't think God can bring back to life some things you thought were dead? I don't have time to get into it. The story of Lazarus, Jesus goes and he shows up and he's late. They didn't think resurrection was an option. They thought he's going to come earlier. Jesus said, no, I've got another option. I've got another option. You may see death. You may see decay. I don't. I've got another option. So today, I want to declare that over you. Again, I want to be specific and categorize. There's some people that you're not close with God. If you were to talk about your relationship, you don't feel close to God, but maybe it's because you don't feel like that's an option because of your decisions, because of your mistakes. I'm here to declare to you, I don't care what you've done this weekend. I don't care what you've done this morning. God has another option for you, but you do have to respond. You do have to take the option. You have to take the option. And for the rest of us, even those that you've been walking with the Lord for a while, that brings its own challenges. Because walking with God for a long time, we also think we only have these options based upon what we think and what we know. But you can start anew. You can start fresh. You have another option. Why? Why would God do that for me? For my own sake. We serve a God that can make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And we're going to sing and worship God. So right now, if you want to receive that, God, if you've got another option for my situation, if you've got another option for my life, if you've got another option for my marriage, if you've got another option for my future, if that is you today, I want to invite you to right now step out from where you are and come down to this front and begin to pray that prayer that, God, if you've got an option, Lord, I want to receive it. It may take a little bit of faith, but will you do that? Will you step out and just say, Lord, I don't exactly see what's going to happen, but God, if you have another option, I want to receive it today. Yes, that's it. God knows your circumstances. God knows your situation. Today you may be in pain, struggling through something, but let me just declare over you, God has another option. God has another option for your life. God has another option for your ministry. You may not think a future was in store, but let me just pray over you right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for every person here, Lord. God, they may not think that there are some options that they are worthy of anymore. There are some things they thought could happen, but they no longer think it's an option. But in Jesus' name, God, you have another option for them today, Lord. You are not done with their story yet, God. They don't have to suffer through these things. They can go through things. You can sustain them, God. Let the miracle of your sustaining power be evident at First Church today, God. You have another option. Yes, that's it. He'll do it again for you. Yes, that's it. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Can you declare that today? Receive that from God. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. There's another option today. Let's worship Him.
Cause another one is on the way. Miracle after miracle. Open door after open door. Here it comes.